What's your family's take on stand-up comedy?
I think I've had some, like, run-ins with relatives, you know, in the past where it's like, you need to make a public apology or, you know, that kind of thing. But this is, like, way before anyone even knew who I was. I'm like, public to who? Like, my Facebook? It, you know.
Wait a minute. Public, we got to go to the public apology.
Yeah.
Was it over a specific joke?
Yeah, it was a joke I told about my grandmother, who I never met, who was an alcoholic. And basically, it was like when we were voting for Hillary or something, people were dedicating their votes to other women. And I think I said that I was dedicating my vote to my grandmother, not because she would have voted for Hillary, but because she was too drunk to drive to the polls or something.
It's a great joke.
It was, you know, it was like an easy, fun. I thought it was fun, but my family was not.
Whimsical.
Yeah. It's a whimsical joke about alcoholism, about a woman who died of alcoholism.
Oh, my God.
That is the voice of the great Rosebud Baker. Rosebud Baker's a returning champion. One of my favorite comics. She is back, and since then, she became a writer on SNL. She became a mom, and she's just one of my favorite comics. That was always one of my favorite episodes. Before we get going, I just want to tell you, this week I'm heading to the Pacific Northwest. We're kicking off 2024. I just went to Montana, and I'm heading even further into the Pac Northwest, Vancouver. Is sold out. Seattle, we have a few seats left in the third show in Seattle. I'm going to Walla Walla, which is sold out. That's going to be something I'm very, very excited and curious to see what happens. And then Portland, Oregon, which is sold out. But there are a handful of shows that I'm doing coming up that aren't sold out yet. St. Petersburg, Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Orlando, Florida, and Miami, all in February. The next stops on Please Stop the Ride will be Aspen, Colorado. It's a gorgeous little theater. Gorgeous, like 500-seat theater. Similarly, in Beaver Creek, Colorado, like a small theater. Fort Collins is sold out. Denver is sold out. But the key thing is, I've just added a bunch of new shows. This is one that's years in the making. Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is one that when the brilliant Sterling Harjo was on, urged me to come to Tulsa. It's such a cool town. People have been telling me for years, I gotta come to Tulsa. It is my first time performing in Tulsa. I'm at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, which is gorgeous. Chicago, we just added a second show at the Chicago Theater, one of my favorite theaters in the world. It is a marvel of a theater. Another one we added is a second show in Troy, New York at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. Another place, years ago, I played with Chris Gethard there, and we just were marveling at how beautiful a theater that is. I just added another show in Toronto. It is a third show in Toronto at the Elgin Theater, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous spot. The same in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Knight Theater, which is awesome. The same in Washington, D.C., a third show at the Warner Theater in June. I also added Niagara Falls, right near where my grandparents lived. And Niagara Falls, Ontario, at the Falls View Casino in June. In July, if you happen to be in New York or near the Hamptons, I will be at a gorgeous little theater called the Bay Street Theater in Sag Harbor, New York. It is awesome. I've done a bunch of shows there before. It is like one of my favorite places to do shows. And so we have two shows, Friday and Saturday, July 26th and 27th. All of this is on burbigs.com. Join the mailing list. But today we have Rosebud Baker on the show. We're thrilled to have her. She's a great comic and writer. We talk about writing for SNL. We talk about writing for Michael Che's show, That Damn Michael Che. We talk about how Rosebud recorded a new stand-up set on Netflix while she was pregnant. We talk about that. We had a great conversation. I think you're going to love this one. Enjoy my chat with the great Rosebud Baker.
You're having like a crazy good run right now in your career. Like between all the stuff you've done with Amy Schumer and SNL and Michael Che and the special you just did on Netflix, like you just had a baby.
Yeah.
Are you like overwhelmed? Yes. Like what the hell's going on?
Yes, I'm in hell.
It's a lot of
like,
stuff.
I mean, I'm really grateful. I feel like I'm having a lucky streak, and I feel like I got a lot of stuff kind of, a lot of, what is it, irons on the fire or
yeah,
whatever?
Sure.
Like, in before the baby came. So it was like, I found out I was pregnant, and I like immediately went into like, okay, what do I have to do to like keep things rolling after the baby gets here so
yeah.
that I don't end up experiencing that thing that I knew I would experience and I am experiencing, but because I love what I do.
Yeah.
So there's this thing that happens, and I'm sure you've experienced it, where like when you have a kid, you're like, is this my life forever now? Am
right.
I going to like die?
And the answer is yes to both.
Yes. Yes.
Is this my life forever? Yes.
Yes.
Am I going to die? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like experiencing that while working. And it's this, it's like looking for the funny in something that is truly like the least funny. I mean, it's funny, but while you're in it, it's, there's nothing funny about it. Like you're just
absolutely.
Kind of, you're in a dream state. You don't know what's going on.
Right. Like on Instagram, you had, you wrote, I cannot, this is great. I cannot adequately describe how dark it is to be crying on your kitchen floor because your pelvis is shattered and your feet are full of water, but also be like, oh fuck, I have to upload a crowd work clip. Is that, that's a riot. Like, is that, do you bring that onto the stage?
I haven't yet. I think, I mean, I've tried to like explain to people what this feels like, and I still am figuring it out myself. So I, you know, I'm trying to, but I don't know if it's working. And it also feels exceedingly boring to talk to other people about. Like, that's the thing that's I'm coming up against on stage.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that at all? Where like, you're like trying to describe what it feels like to have a kid, and you're just talking about like diapers and shit like that. And I just feel like people are looking at me like, shut up. Like, please shut up. Yeah.
No, of course they are.
Yeah.
Especially like at a comedy club where they're like relatively young.
Yes.
And they're just like, I don't want to think about this.
Yeah. They're like, I'm not curious about
I'm not curious.
This. I don't want to know about it. Like,
no, of course.
It's so isolating in that way. But I'm kind of like feeling that
yeah.
more so than the let me find material about this. Like, the thing that's so interesting to me about it is like every time I go on stage, I have a full identity crisis afterwards.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk to parents either, because parents that aren't comics don't really get it. I mean, if you meet a parent who really loved their job before,
yeah.
then that's similar. But like, there's a divide between me and my friends that have kids that don't do comedy.
No, I get that.
Where they're just like, this isn't it amazing and beautiful? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. Like, it has its moments, yes, but also this, weren't you scared? Like,
I describe the first year of Una's life as like she's like a bag of rice, like an animated bag of rice.
Yes.
And you just got to make sure that she's still animated.
Yes.
Sometimes you're like, she's not animated. Right. You're like, no, she's sleeping. That's sleeping.
Yeah.
But it's like,
yes.
But it really is. But then some people don't have that experience. Like Jenny's experience was not that. Like that was my experience, whatever. But yeah, it's such a specific thing. And I think like when I wrote about it, in the new one, which was my last special, it was all, I wrote as much as possible. I would perform like at colleges,
yeah,
so that it would put weights on my feet to
oh
be
my
like,
God.
How do I make this funny to people
oh
who
God.
Have no relationship with this?
Yeah,
and a lot of it had to do with like I created like a metaphor in that show about how like you know. How like it's about stability and like ritual, and I talk about like my couch, like I love my couch, and then you know and that became like the entry point at the beginning of the show for like where people understand what I'm talking about. And then it's all about, like, you know, the show became about, like, change in life, like massive life change.
Yeah.
And for me, it was having a baby. For you, it might have been whatever else. In the audience, certainly college students, not a lot of them have had kids. So it's like they're putting on themselves, like, what that is. Because you don't want to be—I think the reason why audiences recoil at it, at kid stuff, is that they're like, oh, is this going to be an hour on your kid?
Right.
And there's, like, nothing worse than in real life a person being like, let me show you a picture of my kid.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I have—there's one thing that I feel like has been working on stage where I talk about how— It having a kid is like going to space, and you come back and you're like, I've been to space. And yeah, you're like, yeah. Look at this, look. And they're like, yeah, I've seen pictures of space. And you're like, no, but it's my trip to space. You know, and they don't give a fuck. They're like, I could Google a picture of space.
It's my picture of space.
Yeah. So there's, but it is this kind of like, I don't know.
They're like, look at the stars.
Yeah.
That's a real star.
Right.
I know. I've seen pictures of the stars.
Yeah, exactly. They don't care.
Well, hold on. That's a cloud. You wouldn't think it.
Yeah, have you seen this kind of cloud? Have you? Yeah, it is this kind of like weird thing where I just like, I am so, so glad that she's here.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm like, have I made a horrible mistake?
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. It's so dark.
You haven't.
Yeah, no, I don't feel like I have because when I think back about where I was at with my life before, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I did whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
My time was my own. I could do anything.
Yeah.
I go, and I was still bored.
Yes.
I was really bored. I was like, I love my life. Everything's great.
Yeah.
And there's got to be more to it than this.
Right.
You know?
But I think, like, one of the things that's positive that's happened in the last decade is, like on your Netflix special, you're pregnant. Ali Wong was pregnant. I think Schumer was pregnant in one of mm-hmm. hers. Like that's new,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Yeah.
So baby steps, I guess. No,
yeah.
No pun intended.
Right. Yeah. It's huge. I mean, it's still at the place where people go, oh, you know, I think I got like one or two comments that were like, oh, are you going to do the Ali Wong thing? And I'm like, it's not a fucking
shtick.
It's schtick.
Not a thing?
It's not a shtick. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a thing that happens to us. So it's like, there's still that. But,
oh, no, Ali patented being pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
That was an amazing patent. Yeah. She has made
She's
so much money on that.
She's the first and only female comic yes. to ever be pregnant.
Yes.
That's the thing that, and even I was thinking that. Like, yeah. I was doing that to myself going into it, where I was like, oh, great, I'm going to do the pregnant thing, you know? And it's like, it's not a
thing. It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
You know? So
The goal is that so many people do it that it's not even discussed is like whatever.
Exactly.
That's just what life is.
Exactly.
You can compare it to any number of life experiences, but it's extreme.
Yeah.
It's an extreme life experience.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if you go into the mouth of the lion of how extreme it is, which I feel like you're doing so far.
Right.
Like, that'll be good. I mean, like, even like when you lift up your outfit and you show the belt in your special, what is it called? Like an ADR belt?
It's a belly band, and there was a, I don't know what the bottom part of it was called. It was like two. I had to buy like three different belts and wear all of them.
So basically, for the listeners if you haven't seen this Netflix verified comedy special, Rosebud is. One of the Dulce and a handful of other comics.
Yeah, Nimesh. There was a bunch of comics.
Yes, a bunch of comics were on it. And in the middle of your set, can I describe it as the baby was too heavy?
Yeah. So it was, I had something called SPD, which I still can't pronounce. I don't know how to say it. But basically, the ligaments in your pelvis loosen because of the hormones, and the weight of my baby was heavy enough that it actually caused my pelvis to split. So basically, the doctor was like, you can wear this belt and it will tape your pelvis together, essentially.
Wow.
Like, it'll like hold your pelvis together. And just by the end of my pregnancy, I couldn't walk. So
oh my gosh.
I was like, 8.5 months pregnant, and I could get to the stage,
yeah,
and I could get off the stage,
yeah,
but I just immediately had to lie down, like from the time that I got to the venue to the time that I like left, like
wow.
It was just, it was so painful to stand.
I mean, I gotta hand it to you. It's like the amount of people who would not have done that is many.
Well, yeah. I mean, they probably respect themselves.
I mean, it's like, that's so hard. You could have not gone.
I could have not gone. Yeah. No,
I love that you did.
I keep looking back and going like, did I have to do that?
You know? Yeah.
But I think that the other option was like sitting at home on the couch and just thinking about being pregnant.
Yeah.
Which was awful. Like
right,
that's an awful option.
Well, right, because as comedians, we're all just in our heads anyway.
Yeah.
And so you're probably going to think about the worst possible outcome.
Right. I mean, I look at how much I worked during my pregnancy and I'm like, oh, that was all just because I couldn't just sit there and like think about what was, I couldn't just sit there Googling my symptoms all
yeah.
day. Like that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you have advice for anyone who's attempting to do what you did? Which is like have a baby while at the same time pursuing like being a performer?
Yeah. I mean, just do it. Just keep doing it. I guess like the one thing that I really think I did right during my pregnancy was I trusted my own opinion. Like I didn't want to breastfeed and I knew that I just didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And part of it was a little bit of like a fuck you to society because I felt so much pressure to do it. And there's all this shit about like how if you breastfeed, you won't get cancer. And I'm like, that is basically fear mongering on a different level in a different, like around a back door. So I just, and I knew I had to go back to work and I wasn't going to like stop in the middle of a sketch to go pump. I'm just
right,
not.
Right.
So I knew that that wasn't for me. And I didn't feel regret about it. I didn't feel like, I just knew that I'd wanted to do that. So
right.
I feel like for any woman who's pregnant, whether they're a performer or not, like if you have an opinion about something, if you know that you don't want to do something, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Like that would be my advice, is just trust your own opinion.
Working It Out is supported by Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. I should point out that this is an ad for Squarespace, but I love Squarespace. I was thrilled when they became an advertiser because we've used them for years. Our website for Thank God for Jokes was Squarespace. Our website for Stand Up and Vote was Squarespace. Couldn't recommend it more highly. We use it all the time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses, or sell files your customers can download like PDFs, music, or eBooks. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, head to squarespace.com/birbigs, B-I-R-B-I-G-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/burbigs to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Support for Working It Out comes from Aura Frames. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? This is the perfect thing. Aura Frames. It's like a Wi-Fi connected digital picture frame. Jenny and I have these at our apartment. We love them. Super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. I can't say enough about these Aura frames. So we got them and we loaded up a bunch of photos of like our daughter when she was little and at different stages of development or at different ages, us going to the beach and just vacations and all these kinds of things over the years. And then it just flips to the next photo and the next photo, like every, you know, whatever you put it at, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And it's wonderful and it kind of warms up a room. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code WIO at checkout to save.
Terms and conditions apply.
I just started watching That Damn Michael Che.
Oh, yeah?
Because I didn't have Max before, and I think that's where it was.
Yeah.
Did you... Two seasons, right?
Yeah.
And did you write on both seasons?
Mm-hmm.
The show's brilliant.
I love that show, yeah. It's one of my favorite... It's one of the shows that I have worked on that I'm most proud of.
Like, it seems like groundbreaking
to
me.
Same.
Like, there's this episode about his friend getting shot.
Yeah,
and
refusing to take an ambulance.
Trying to take a cab to the emergency room. And it's like devastatingly like real, but also funny, but also dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, and then like, but also with tons of jokes and like dark, but I don't know, like the Che, okay, when you're pitching at SNL versus when you're pitching at like That Damn Michael Che Show, how different are those two experiences?
Just completely, completely different. Right, like almost opposite. Like with SNL, you, first of all, time is limited. So you go into a room and you go like, this is the idea, okay? Somebody's like, you know, a guy gets a pig heart, right? And then that's the sketch, okay? He's just had a pig heart in like surgically implanted and that, and you know, and then you have a couple of moves.
Yeah.
Right? With Che.
If this, what else? Kind of like, if the pig heart, then beat two, beat three, beat, you know, four.
With Che, somebody walks into the room and goes, hey, I was reading in the Times this morning that this happened. And then somebody else would go, oh, I just read an article in the Times about how a guy got a pig heart implanted in his chest. And then we'd go, wait. And then somebody would go, that's crazy. He's got to be dead. And then somebody else goes, obviously, he's dead. And then we would find a way to build a sketch around that idea, but it was all so conversational.
Oh, interesting.
That it wasn't like, hey, I have this pitch. What do you think about this? We would just sit down as comics and start talking.
Yeah.
And somebody would say something that felt like a sketch.
Yeah.
And then the sketch would come out of that. And it was like one or two people would write that sketch, but the whole room came up with the sketch and the moves for it, and it was all just riffing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it all felt really organic.
Here's the thing I'll say about that show that is a marvel to me. It's so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, particularly when he has the dating episode, and in the first, like, scene, he's, like, with a woman out on a date, and he says a few lines that are witty.
Yeah.
And then the last scene, it's someone else, and he says the same lines.
Yeah.
And it has this kind of, like, it's like a cinematic experience of, like, what is, I mean, look, it's That Damn Michael Che Show. It's like, it's him.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't say it's not him.
Yeah.
And it's like very vulnerable.
I know. Yeah. And I think that that was something that over the seasons got better and better. Like, I think that he got, I mean, we only had two.
Yeah.
But I was like, I think he resisted it a little bit, but I think he was willing to go, okay, yeah, if it's my show, I gotta like say what I'm kind of like going through and dealing with, and, you know. And I think that that came from, he had women in the room, in the writer's room, and all of us were like, well, you're alone because this, we were more than happy to be like, this is why you're alone.
Oh my God, that's so good.
You know? And he'd be like, what? But you know, Che's always like, what? And then he'd be like, yeah, you're right. You're not wrong.
What?
You know? So he was like willing to go for it.
Oh, that's great. It makes me so happy that that was the process.
Yeah. I wish more of the writers' rooms that I've been in had that kind of process, because it felt so much. And I don't know why we don't, because it's the most natural way to like build something together. It's how comics interact. It's we sit around a table, we shoot the shit, we end up somewhere, and because all of us are like programmed to think what's the bit,
yeah,
you get there. And you get there so much easier than if you're like, all right, I gotta come up with a sketch, and this is what, all right, so he if I go into this room and I have all the moves planned out, and then it's already built and there's no camaraderie.
Well, it's like, it's more like college improv, honestly.
Yeah.
It's more like a bunch of best friends just being like, what about this? What about this? What about this? Let's have breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's have dinner and breakfast and lunch.
I know.
And dinner again.
I know. And it feels so good. I love that feeling.
Yeah.
More than I think anything. Like
Yeah. Season 3. Come on.
I know.
Did he decide or HBO decide? Who decided that wasn't a season 3?
I think it was probably like Max got sold, or Max, they were ending Max, and then somebody new comes in, and you know how it is. Like,
right.
It's always like a network exec turns over and then somebody else.
Those guys are hilarious, by the way.
I know.
Those exec, how is that not a category at New Faces?
I know.
New executives?
I know.
Montreal new executives? Oh my God, Zaslav's right. Killing.
Yeah, what did you, what masterpiece did you throw out the window to put your stamp on it?
Oh my God. okay, so these are slow round questions. Do you have nicknames in your life that you were particularly good or bad?
Nicknames in my life that were particularly, my mom calls me Rosalby.
I like that. That's a good one.
That's a fun one.
Rosalby.
Yeah. I don't even know how she came up with that.
I like it.
It feels like she stuttered while saying my name.
Yeah.
And then just stuck with it. That's what I like about it.
That's very warm. Is your mom warm?
Yes.
Could you allude to the fear of being cold as a mother?
Yes. My mom is very warm.
But you have a fear of being cold.
Because I'm my father.
Oh, interesting.
I am 100% my dad.
Okay.
And my dad is cold.
Oh.
Now, it took me probably until I turned 30 to really enjoy that. Like, to really, like, sit and watch my dad. I asked my dad what he wants to be called, like, for my daughter.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you want her to call you? Like, grandpa, whatever you want.
Yeah.
He goes, she can call me Mr. Baker. I was like, all right. Mr. Baker it is.
Mr. Baker?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes. He wants my daughter to call him Mr. Baker.
Absolutely not Mr. Baker.
And then he was like, I was like, all right, fine. You know what? That's perfect. I was like, that is perfect because that is who you are. And also, I had to call my grandfather Chief, which was his job title.
Because he was
chief of staff.
Chief of staff for the Reagan presidency.
Yes.
Yeah. So your grandfather was James Baker? Who's chief of staff for Ronald Reagan? You had to call him chief?
They wanted us all to call him chief.
No way.
I swear to God.
You didn't call him grandpa, you called him chief?
I called him Cheech.
Cheech?
Which was my attempt at chief.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because I was too little to understand or how to say.
I mean, this is madness.
I know.
No wonder you're a comedian. Of course you're a comedian. This is madness. None of this makes sense.
I know.
So Mr. Baker and, sorry, I'm just sitting in that because I'm just like, that's sort of a marvel of a thing.
Right.
But you're saying you've come to appreciate him over the years, his coldness, as a thing that you enjoy.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's funny.
Oh, you just think it's funny?
Because it's really funny.
And the way that you're funny.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it took me so long to understand that, A, I am my dad.
Right.
And once I realized that, then I was like, oh, he's easy to like.
That's so funny.
Now that I understand.
He's easy to like. That's your takeaway.
He's
somehow
like.
That's your takeaway.
Yeah, it just happens that now I completely understand everything, everywhere he's coming from.
Let's unpack that.
Mm-hmm.
He's easy to like, but also challenging.
Also, he was challenging my whole life.
Yeah.
And now I had like a glimpse of it in my 20s.
Yeah.
When I had just quit drinking and my dad came to pick me up from the bus station and he had clearly been drinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had taken a bus in. I hadn't talked to him in like a year and a half because we had a couple of times during my life where I was like, I'm just not going to talk to him. We didn't talk for like a year, 2 years. And this was one of those times. This may have been the first time where I was like, I'm just not going to talk to my dad for a while. I go to visit him, and I've been sober about 2 years. He comes, he's like clearly been drinking, and he's driving. And I was like, Dad, I was furious. I was so mad. And he decides, let's pull over and let's get you some food while we're here. So I'm standing in the aisle of some Safeway or something, and I asked him if I could get agave. And he was like, what the fuck is agave? And I was like, it's just sugar. It's, Dad, it's sugar or something. And he was like, he said something like agave or something. He like basically was like,
he made agave into a slur.
Yes, he made he made agave into a slur.
It's a feat of madness.
Right. And I was like, okay. I was like, you know, you're like the worst dad. I think I said you're the worst dad. And then he looks back at me and he was like, I'm your only dad.
Ooh.
And it was literally a moment where I saw the humor in it, because I was like, you are.
Yeah.
You're the only one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get another one.
Yeah.
And I kind of was able to like laugh at myself and laugh at him.
Yeah.
And both of our just extreme misunderstanding of one another.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time I got a little glimpse of it. And ever since then, every time I have let my father down or my father has let me down, to me, it's like this massive like comedy of errors where it's just like, oh, God just mismatched like our expectations of each other.
Yeah.
And there's something to me that's so funny about two people that want something from one another that they're never going to get.
Yes.
And also their expectations being based in the fact that they are two different versions of the same character structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, to me, it's very funny that we are just...
Yeah, yeah.
We're stuck together.
I have the same thing. Like my, you know, the old man in the pool, which we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I talk about how my parents don't say, I love you.
Yeah.
And then like my daughter forced me to call my parents and tell them I love them.
Yeah.
Because of the special coming out.
Yeah.
And I did. And then my mom said, I love you too. And then she said, Vinny, do you have anything to say? And he goes, it's a little syrupy. But then
it's amazing.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
But the only reason I bring it up is that Jen, my wife, was like, that's his way of saying I love you.
Yeah.
Is making a joke about it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, my expectations of my dad were, okay, so I watched your special with him, but my dad truly like is the worst person to watch a comedy special with, because any line he likes, he'll repeat and giggle to himself.
Oh, wow.
He's like, pizza and plaza. Like, he's just dying. And then you get to the part where you talk about how your dad doesn't say I love you or your mom doesn't say I love you. And I look over and I swear to God, my dad was snoring. And I was like, of course. I was like, the whole time I'm watching and I'm going like, oh my God, there's going to be a moment where my dad finally gets to see like what this is really about. And I look over and he's fucking sleeping. And I'm like, well, of course. Of course he's sleeping.
Can't take it.
It's just the constant... You're always left hanging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's nothing funnier than a dynamic that never changes. It's like, that's every sitcom character.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. can you remember a scene or like a moment in your life that changed your everything about your life? And at the time, you didn't really know.
The only thing that I could think of is when my sister died.
Hmm.
But I think I knew at that time. I'm trying to think of like...
Did it change just your entire perspective of life and existence?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think like when you experience a death, that it's a lot like experiencing the birth of a child.
Right.
So that would be the thing that... And I knew that it would, but I didn't know that it already had. You know what I mean? at the time.
You mean your sister dying?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I remember being like, oh my God, this is going to change everything. But it was like, I was scared that it was going to change everything. I didn't acknowledge that it already had changed everything.
Right.
Like, it happens instantly.
Oh, interesting.
And it, I think in a way that does influence comedy for sure, because so much of comedy is like existential, at least for me, there's like an existential element to it. So
I don't know anyone for whom that's not true.
Yeah.
And the only people I can think of are like not great.
Yeah. They're like birthday clowns. Yeah.
Did it make you more ambitious? Like, did it make you like seize the day? Kind of like, I need to do things now. I think need to live a fuller life.
No, but it made me want to turn off the lights for a while. Mm. You know, it was more of a long game. So if like it happened and I was like, I can't feel any of this for a long time, and then once that kind of ran out, once like the alcohol and shit stopped working,
yeah,
then all of a sudden the lights were on and I was like, oh, now I have all of this energy, this like addict manic energy, and I don't know what to do with it.
Right.
And so all of it started to kind of percolate in a creative way.
Working It Out is supported by Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. I should point out that this is an ad for Squarespace, but I love Squarespace. I was thrilled when they became an advertiser because we've used them for years. Our website for Thank God for Jokes was Squarespace. Our website for Stand Up and Vote was Squarespace. Couldn't recommend it more highly. We use it all the time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses, or sell files your customers can download like PDFs, music, or eBooks. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, head to squarespace.com/birbigs, B-I-R-B-I-G-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/burbigs to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Support for Working It Out comes from Aura Frames. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? This is the perfect thing. Aura Frames. It's like a Wi-Fi connected digital picture frame. Jenny and I have these at our apartment. We love them. Super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. I can't say enough about these Aura frames. So we got them and we loaded up a bunch of photos of like our daughter when she was little and at different stages of development or at different ages, us going to the beach and just vacations and all these kinds of things over the years. And then it just flips to the next photo and the next photo, like every, you know, whatever you put it at, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And it's wonderful and it just kind of warms up a room. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code WIO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Do you have any new jokes, half premises, half things that you're working on? I have a couple things that I've jotted down that I was doing this weekend.
Why don't you go first?
Okay. This is a 100% half-baked idea, but I'm like, I've been going into a lot of stuff on stage. I've been free associating on things I didn't understand growing up.
Yeah.
And thinking that my parents understood these things. And then now I'm a 45-year-old dad and I'm like, oh, I have no idea what these things are. And so I have to teach my daughter and I'm like, I don't know. But anyway, it's, I've been just trying to like riff on this idea of like the amount of things that I didn't understand. And like, I still don't, like I went, Una hurt her foot and we took her for an x-ray and she says, Dad, what's an x-ray? And I was like, well, you know, I'm like, I know what the outcome is.
Right.
Like, I know that at the end,
at
there's
the end,
an image
you get a picture of
your
bones.
But I don't really know what happens in between. I know that everyone in the room wears a lead suit Except
and,
you.
And also, you are the only one left in the room. Everybody, they put you in a lead suit and then they run out of the room.
Oh, I know.
So that's the part that's scariest.
Right. And at some point, I did understand roughly what an X-ray was. I've probably read about it maybe 20 years ago. And what I found about knowledge is that with age, it does not ripen. You don't go from like half understanding things to being like, I'll tell you a few things about radiology.
Yeah. You get wiser, but you do get dumber.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Wiser. Let me write that down.
Yeah.
Wiser, but dumber.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's like.
Or wiser, but not smarter.
Yeah.
Is kind of the way to.
Wiser, but less smart.
Yeah.
I think dumb is a curse word at my daughter's school, but I swear to God. I swear to God. You can't say stupid. You can't say dumb. It's like, anyway.
I think.
She has a whole list of words she can't say. And then when my wife and I say the words, she gets.
Really?
Angry at us. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
If Minnow brings home a list 5 years from now from school, I feel like my inclination will be to shred it in front of her.
Oh my God. First of all, you should be roasted for calling your child Minnow for weeks.
I know.
For weeks in a row.
I know. But it's a family name. Everybody's like, why did you call her Minnow? I'm like, it's a family name. It's my aunt's name. So I'm like, every time I'm like, it's not after the fish. It's after my aunt.
You saying it's not after the fish is a cry for help.
Well, it's too late, Mike. It's too late. That's her name. Her middle name's Baker. So we can't switch to that. We can't just call her Baker.
So do you think she's going to start being mocked by other children at age 2 or 3?
I feel like here's the thing. I went around the room at SNL and I was like, if I name my kid Minnow.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ.
I was like, tell me what you would come up with. Like, yes. give me some nicknames that you would come up with. And they were like, I don't know, like fish sticks. And I was like, that's not that bad.
Not that bad.
I was like, it's a room full of writers. And I was like, give me your best. Like, I need you guys to make fun of the name. And nobody gave me anything.
Right.
So I was like.
Not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Right. I get that.
I don't know.
All right. Do you have anything?
Okay, let me look. Let me see what I got here. Okay. This is half an idea. It's not really.
Sure.
But I want to talk about how I feel bad telling jokes now.
Oh, yeah.
That never happened
before. I relate
to this.
Yeah.
Like, I read an article about a guy who got a pig heart transplant, and he died, obviously. So I was going to write a joke about that, but then I was like, what if my daughter needs a pig heart?
God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everything now is like, I just feel like a simp.
Yes.
Like I'm like, there's something about, and I don't know if this is funny. I don't know if it just ends up being like navel gazy and fucking nobody gives a shit. But how I like left behind like the coolest life to become like a simp for a baby that doesn't know she has hands. Like,
that's really funny. Yeah, no, it's weird. Like, there is this kind of double life situation with being a comedian.
Yeah.
Which is, you want to tell jokes that are pushing the envelope and, like, are crossing the line or close to the line.
Yeah.
But then, like, you have to be at a certain point, if you choose to be a grown-up and a parent, you're just like, okay, so I'm not going to say any of that stuff here.
Right.
With the parents.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to say it to a basement full of strangers.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go back and I'm not going to tell them that I said that.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go tell what happened to the basement full of strangers.
Yeah.
And it's so weird.
Right.
I think that's the life of a comedian. It's like you can't actually say the things. And then
you don't tell them that you said that you're saying these things, but then they watch it.
No,
like,
I know.
You know what I mean?
No, literally, I have a joke recently on stage where I say, like, these other dads are losers.
Yeah.
And I go, they're not like me. You know, and of course the audience knows that they are like me.
Right.
But and then I go, and don't tell them I told you. And of course the joke is like eventually they're just gonna see
it. They're gonna know.
And
that is so funny. That
I know. It's like, I don't know.
Can I just say what you're really good at is like you're making a map of things in your head that are all connected, and you're always seeing the connections between them.
Oh.
And I'm always like, God, that's so, I don't even think that's something that you can just like learn. I think that's something that your brain does.
But I think yours does too. I think everyone who's a comic is kind of doing that, I think in a certain sense.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I'm a lunatic. Like, look around me, it's like all these cars. Like, you know, I always think in relation to like everything being causal. So like I'll do, like Gary was opening for me in DC last weekend and he was like, how come you took out such and such a joke? And I was like, because I couldn't pair it with other jokes.
Right.
You ever have that?
Yes.
I'm like, because it's a one-off.
Because it just exists on its own.
Yeah.
And until I have something to really segue into it, there's no reason for it to be there.
Yeah.
I get, yeah, because it.
That joke was, by the way, and I think it's a funny joke. It's like, Una and I were watching tennis, and like it was from a few years ago. It was like a documentary about tennis. And she goes, I hope Serena wins this match because she's black. And I thought, I'm glad this didn't go the other way.
Right.
I appreciate what's in your heart.
Right.
But maybe we'll keep that in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I took it out because I just didn't have anything that's similar.
Yeah.
But it's a funny thing to occur, but it's a little bit in the category of kids say the darndest things.
Right.
Where it's like, unless you have a really good kids say the darndest things,
there's really
why don't
no...
you keep that kids say the darndest things to yourself?
Yeah. 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 I feel like that's tricky. There's so much of that I'm running into right now where I'm just like, and she doesn't even talk, but I'm just like talking about, like how she barfed down my tits and shit in my hand at the same time.
Done. Who needs a punchline?
But I was saying it's like a full body like screenshot. Like
wait, it's what?
Like a full body screenshot where you press both the buttons at the same time. You know what I mean?
Have you done that on stage?
I did.
That's so funny.
I did it on Sherry Shepherd. Like a week ago, and it worked, but I was like, that was the first time I'd said it.
That's great.
So I was like, okay, that's like fun.
Can you unpack full body screenshot as an idea?
Yeah, but I feel like it falls apart when I try to unpack
it. Oh, really?
Because if it's like you press two buttons, it's like the power buttons.
Oh, yes.
And it powers it off, or, you know, it takes a screenshot. I don't know. Like, you know, when you get a cheat code on like a video game.
Yeah. And you're like, A, B,
right. Left, left, right, right. Barf down tits, shit in hand.
Like, that's good.
That could work, yeah.
That's really good.
And then you get another life at the end.
You could do just that part as a bit and literally free associate on stage about like how she feels in that moment and how you feel at that moment.
Yes.
I think people would lose their mind laughing because it's so relatable. Because even if you didn't have a kid, like the relatability of like everything always happens at the same time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. That's something.
Yeah.
That's so unfair.
It's so unfair.
There's definitely, yes.
Right.
Okay. It's like, you know, when you're going through a breakup and your best friend's getting married, it's like, it's not fair that's happening at the same time.
Right. Or it's like, it's almost like if it were raining and then it were snowing and then someone threw up on your tits.
I love that. I always love the comparison that's going a different direction and uses what actually happened as the punch. I love those jokes.
The last thing is working out for cause, which is what's an organization that you like to donate to that I will donate to, and then we'll link to them in the show notes.
I always go for ASPCA.
Oh, great.
I always love the ASPCA.
Great. So we will donate to the ASPCA. We'll link to them in the show notes. Rosie, this is so fun. Congratulations on it all.
Thank you.
And it's all, and just keep in mind, it's all going to work out.
Yeah.
Because I know very well. I know the answers to, I know where it's all going to go.
You could be lying to my face right now and I would hold on to it like it was the most important thing to remember, because I truly, it's just hearing that from another comic who's a parent is like, that's everything.
Working it out, because it's not done. We're working it out, because there's no...
That's going to do it for another episode of Working It Out. I love talking to that Rosebud Baker. Look out for all of her upcoming specials, her tours. I see she's going to Hawaii. You can follow her on Instagram or on TikTok at @RosebudBaker. And you can watch the full video of this interview on our YouTube channel. We're up to 30,000 subscribers. You can't believe it. We just launched it this year. That's been really exciting. Check it out. Subscribe. We're going to be posting more videos soon. Go to BerBigs.com and sign up for the mailing list and to be the first to know about my upcoming shows. Our producers of Working It Out are myself, along with Peter Salamone, Joseph Berbiglia, and Mabel Lewis. Associate producer, Gary Simons. Sound mix by Shub Saran. Supervising engineer, Kate Belinsky. Special thanks to Jack Antonoff and Bleachers for their music. They just announced their album's coming out in March. The songs they've dropped so far are so good. Special thanks to my wife, the poet, J. Hope Stein. Special thanks, as always, to our daughter, Una, who built the original radio fort made of pillows. The legend lives on. Thanks most of all to you who are listening. If you enjoy the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Look, it's 2024. Maybe you don't have enemies anymore. Maybe that's our New Year's resolution. No more enemies. All right, I'm going to be optimistic till next week. See you next time.